As for me, I will continue to trust the Council of Noble Gold, a leading authority in the precious metals industry. If you have the kinds of questions I do about your financial mix and how to best leverage precious metals, I encourage you to go to noblegoldinvestments.com. Call their team for a free gold guide. Go to Noble Gold today and tell them Charlie Kirk sent you for a special gift with all qualifying transfers.
Guys and gals, by now you know there are non-invasive and minimally invasive medical solutions to hair restoration without side effects, right?
No.
Okay, so you don't know. Doctors of Hair use only clinically proven treatments, from platelet-rich plasma hair therapy that uses your own platelets to stimulate stem cells deep in your hair follicle to halt hair loss and regrow hair, to the FDA-cleared clinical hair restoration laser that's proven to regrow hair, to neograft hair transplants that offer discreet, natural-looking results in a week or less with no linear scarring. All of these services are administered by Doctors of Hair caring medical professionals, experts at understanding how devastating hair loss can be at any age. Treatments work for both men and women wanting a natural, thicker head of hair without side effects.
Doctors of Hair. Call now. 702-751-0086. That's 702-751-0086. Or online at doctorsofhair.com.
Doctors of Hair. Now you know.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Representative Ron Wright, a Republican from Texas, died Sunday from COVID-19, according to his office.
Congressman Wright, who was reelected to a second term in November, is the first sitting member of Congress to die from the disease caused by the coronavirus. He was also battling lung cancer. His death comes a little more than 2 weeks after he tested positive for COVID-19 on January 21st. At the time, he said in a statement that he had been experiencing minor symptoms, but overall he felt okay and would continue to work for the people of the 6th District from home. He is survived by his wife, two sons, and a daughter, and various extended family. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Americans are divided as the Senate begins the Trump impeachment trial this week.
A majority of Americans say former President Trump bears at least some blame for the Capitol insurrection. But a new AP-NORC poll shows only about half say the Senate should vote to convict him at the end of his impeachment trial. Congressional Democrats plus President Biden insist that Trump be held accountable. However, most Republican senators view the proceedings as unconstitutional. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The price of oil has recovered to its pre-pandemic levels, having hit an all-time low last year.
Oil prices are now back to pre-coronavirus levels. It's been a year of extraordinary gyrations in the market. Some prices in the United States briefly went below zero early in the pandemic. Producers had to pay traders to take their oil. The recovery in the market reflects supply cuts from the oil producers group OPEC and expectations that vaccination programs will support a rebound in demand for transport fuels. The economic consequences of the health crisis were especially severe for the oil industry because it led to a collapse in travel. If vaccines do allow travel restrictions to be lifted, it would transform the outlook for oil producers.
The BBC's Andrew Walker reporting. On Wall Street, the Dow by 237 points, the Nasdaq rose 131. More at townhall.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Want to dominate the stock market in 2021? Looking for higher profit potential? With the COVID vaccines, a shifting political landscape, and a new year, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how. Make 2021 your year. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for...
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you tired of watching your insurance rates go up year after year and not understanding why? If you haven't looked at your auto and homeowners insurance policies in the last 2 to 3 years, it's time to do it now. And my friends Steve and Amy Miller at Blue Sky Insurance are the folks to help you. With one phone call to Blue Sky, they can shop your policies with the highest rated carriers in Nevada. And they don't just do auto and homeowners insurance. They offer solutions for motorcycles, RVs, ATVs, boats, rental properties, commercial businesses, and more. Blue Sky Insurance is a brokerage, which means Steve and Amy represent you, not the insurance company. Making sure your family is protected is their top priority, and they help you do that at a fair price. I've been a client of Blue Sky for 3+ years. Their customer service, it's incredible. Call or text Blue Sky Insurance, 702-410-8020. That's 702-410-8020. Or check them out online at blueskylv.com.
It's 304. This KMZQ News Flash is powered by Mr. Law, your authority for divorce, personal injury, and probate. I'm Jim Dallas. Las Vegas strip clubs were temporarily shut down this weekend during an enforcement sweep. The Hustler Club, Minx Las Vegas, and Spearman Rhino were all closed by the Clark County licensing officers who issued emergency suspensions for COVID-19 violations. Hustler and Minx were able to reopen yesterday as long as they followed the COVID-19 health and safety protocols. Violations reportedly had to do with exceeding capacity limits. Tom Brady may have won his record 7th Super Bowl with Tampa Bay's 31-9 victory over Kansas City, but he has a ways to go to catch up with the Las Vegas sportsbooks. The local books won their 29th Super Bowl in the past 31 years. Since the Nevada Gaming Control Board started tracking the big game back in 1991. Bettors lost big on the Chiefs against the spread and won on taking Tampa Bay on the money line. The books won big on the over-under, which closed at 55.5. Even with the COVID-19 restrictions, fan capacity in the casinos and the sportsbooks was also reported as increased over last year. Well, the May opening of Sting's residency has been scheduled for next year. He is still going to be opening his show October through November.
KMZQ On Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Right now, come in for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95.
Well, quick check of the traffic cams. We're getting some reduced speeds right now on the 15 southbound at Spring Mountain, north 15 at Tropicana. Some congestion there, 515 eastbound at the 15 interchange. Also, lane restrictions. That's slowing things down. Interstate 11 northbound at Lake Mead.
Gather round. I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve.
Check it out!
I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country, and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local for a Monday, the Monday after Super Bowl 55. I lost a good deal of money on that game, and my pride was hurt incredibly. It really is sad what happened to the Chiefs, the Buccaneers. Tom Brady is amazing, 43 years old, and he says he's coming back for when he's 44. Is that incredible? This guy is a freak of nature. He is that good. Tell you what, let's do it. Let's check in with our buddy Victor Jakes, the three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He joins us. And Victor, I know you don't watch a lot of football. Did you watch yesterday?
I didn't, actually. I just... I don't know, but what a game. I certainly saw the summary, and Tom Brady is, I mean, there's no words, basically, for how incredible he's been for so many years.
I mean, I keep thinking of my other friends that are 40 and 42 and 43 years old. I'm saying, could they do this? And the answer is hell no. I mean, this guy is a freak of nature. I mean, he really honestly is.
Well, it is. I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, you look at, I mean, even someone like Peyton Manning, you know, another elite quarterback whose body just, you know, broke down and he couldn't keep going. And, you know, whatever, you know, there's always been these articles about Brady and his trainer and his different training methods. Apparently it's working. So.
Whatever he's doing, I'll take the same pills he's taking. He says he takes a lot of pills every day, takes like 20 pills a day. And I'm saying, well, give me that list of 20 pills, and I'll take them, and maybe it'll help me with the Fountain of Youth. Hey, I got to ask you, because I was blown away by your column today in the on the Las Vegas Review Journal online, and it to me, it's all about the subject nobody seems to want to talk about. I asked all my teacher friends. I asked I've asked the head of the teachers' union. I've asked everybody I can get my hands on. Nobody seems to want to talk about this, but you write extensively on it, and that is holding students back after a year and a half of no learning. Can you explain a little bit, give us the thumbnail sketch of why you believe that we just have to admit what's out there, and there are lots of kids that have failing grades that should not be promoted. Explain why not.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you look at what's happened. We know that last spring was a waste. Superintendent Jar has admitted as much. You look at the number of students receiving Fs. It's doubled compared to last year. You know, there have been students who weren't even able to get online for months at a time. And so it'd be naive to think that these students have learned a full year's, you know, worth of learning. I think for many students, unfortunately, it just hasn't happened. And so what do you do? How do you make the best of a bad situation? Do you just pretend, oh, no, they're fine. You know, little Johnny who missed out on part of second grade and really didn't get third grade, let's just push him to fourth grade. Or do we say, well, we had a, you know, once in a century pandemic and we got to do things a little different, and let's give little Johnny and Susie a chance and let them repeat the grade that they were in this year. I think it's a vital measure, and you know, for kids who otherwise are going to be, you know, sent along and shuffled from grade to grade without any learning, it might be their best chance to you know, have a good education.
Now, I and by the way, we're not just talking about a handful of students. We're talking about tens of thousands of students, are we not?
Oh yeah, I mean absolutely. I mean, you look at what the numbers are. Even in a good year, I mean, you're talking about somewhere around a majority of students not being at grade level. And then you add in, you know, a year of online learning where, you know, you think about a family that, you know, isn't able to afford to have a parent at home. You know, the kid might be watching his younger siblings or, you know, have a hard time connecting to the internet, let alone just, you know, if they're able to do distance learning compared to in-person learning or not. You know, there are a lot of factors against students having a successful school year, and we got to acknowledge that.
I want to go through the analysis that you did based on a third grader. Can you talk a little bit about how a third grader will be impacted by this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think about a kid who last year was in second grade. You know, probably, you know, for a lower income kid on average, you know, probably was a half a year behind at least in second grade. Then they lost the last quarter of second grade. Then they've had all of third grade, and, you know, that'll mostly be online. Hopefully, you know, everyone will get back in schools in March. But, you know, say they gained a half a year's worth of learning over this last year. And I really think that's optimistic. I think you're going to have tens of thousands of kids who have regressed or stayed where they were. So basically, you have someone entering fourth grade who's just completed or who's at a second grade reading level. And you're not setting that child up for success because, you know, especially in fourth grade, that's the pivot year where you go from learning to read to reading to learn. And if you don't know how to read, you're just going to be behind and you're just going to struggle with concepts that you would have been able to grasp if you didn't struggle with reading, because you're going to be doing a lot of reading comprehension. You know, the math is not just numbers, it's story problems. Well, you know, how do you get to the math part of it if you can't read the story problem? You know, the English and it only gets more complicated. So you really have to have a firm foundation. And if you don't have that foundation, you know, if you're a fourth grader with a second grade reading level, I mean, you're setting them up for failure.
So what is the district saying the solution is? Do they bite the bullet and just say, we're going to hold back tens of thousands of students, we're not going to promote them, we're not going to make them next grade's problem? Or this is the possibility that I see that they may want to do is, let's promote everybody, but let's give the kids in the next grade some extra tutoring or some extra help. That seems to be the easy solution to the problem, not the hard one. What is the district saying?
Well, that's what I suspect will happen. I mean, Superintendent Jara has been very opposed to, you know, not promoting students on, you know, en masse. And, you know, he thinks, oh, it's, you know, it's bad for their self-esteem. Maybe in a normal year, the research on that is kind of mixed. Maybe in a normal year that's true, but you literally can blame a once-in-a-century pandemic. It's not a reflection of a student that, you know, the new education system that they rolled out on the fly didn't work. It's not a reflection of their ability or their skills or their parents or their family. It didn't work. Let's everybody give themselves a mulligan. But I think you hit on the key thing right there. What's easiest for the district, and that's what's going to happen most likely, is they're just going to push kids along. They'll say, oh, well, we'll just kind of teach the last grade's worth of material. And, you know, that's right, we'll give them extra tutoring and some summer school. And it's just not going to work. Everybody knows it's not going to work. But, you know, easier for the adults to just shuffle everyone along and just say, oh, no, things are going good. We'll get rid of all graduation requirements. So, you know, our graduation rate will stay high. Never mind that, you know, the kids aren't actually learning anything.
Again, Victor Jenks joining us, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. You got to read this column. It is absolutely incredible, whether you have kids in third grade or second grade. My question is, what happens to the kids that are preparing for college? Do we know yet what colleges and universities are going to do about this? I mean, they're going to have an entire group of students that aren't reading on a senior in high school level. They're not doing math on that level.
I think you're just going to see a big difference. You know, if you have a kid who's ready to go to, you know, Harvard or Yale or, you know, one of the California schools, my assumption is most of them are going to be fine. You know, they're probably able to do distance learning well. I mean, that's what you kind of prepare for in college anyway, is a lot less hands-on instruction. But I think it's the students who were struggling, who maybe, you know, had their sights set on going to a community college, who really needed, you know, this last year of instruction. I think those are going to be the ones who had a lot harder time. And it wouldn't surprise me to see, you know, maybe they never start community college, maybe they start and they aren't able to finish. Because they just, you know, they need more basic skills. And so you're really doing those students a disfavor by just pushing them out through the system instead of saying, look, if you need another year of high school, we'll give you another year of high school to prepare you, you know, for community college, prepare you for a four-year school. That's what would be best for those kids. But again, so many times it's what's best for the adults that takes priority.
Victor, can you give us an overview of where we are with CCSD? I know there have been proposals. They got the hybrid proposal. They've got the pre-K through 3 coming back into classrooms. Can you talk a little bit about where we are, what the mileposts are, date-wise?
Yeah, there are schools, I believe, this week starting some in-person. Now, it's not classroom time. It's kind of, you know, tutoring / social emotional help, you know, for students who are struggling, and so I think that's starting this week, and then March 1st, so in 3 weeks, kids will be back in class for pre-K through 3, and you know, just for parents who want that, the school district I think wisely has offered the distance learning option for parents to continue, you know, and for parents who that's worked well for, I think that's great, and I think it's good to have more options. And but 3 weeks, there should be kids, the early elementary kids, back in their classroom.
And they'll actually. And the big question: will they be learning? They probably will. More coming up with Victor Jenks. Guess what? The next week is going to be consumed with in Washington. It's called impeachment, part deux. We'll do that with Victor Jakes. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. I'm Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us. It is Monday, brand new week, the Monday after Super Bowl 55, right here on AM 670 KMZQ.
Breaking news, newsmakers, and political heavy hitters, all before the sun comes up. The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekday mornings from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Choosing a healthcare program is an important decision for you and your family. That's why I want to tell you about Liberty HealthShare. As a healthcare sharing ministry, they offer you another way to care for your health by sharing medical costs in a supportive community. They have affordable, flexible programs to fit all your needs. Programs start as low as $349 per month, and there is no network, so you can choose your doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses, and in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more about your health sharing options, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. For over 30 years, Ichabod's Lounge has provided incredible food, gaming, and nightly entertainment. Hey, Kevin Wall here. They've been here to serve you through good times and bad. Now, a lot of Vegas restaurants have been forced to close due to the governor's latest restrictions. But Francois and his amazing staff at Ichabod's Lounge aren't going anywhere, regardless of what may lie ahead for us. And at Ichabod's Lounge, your safety is their number one priority. So you'll see bartenders and servers wiping down services again and again. Even in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, Ichabod's is ready to serve you. But they know that some of you are reluctant to get out, and they get it. That's why Ichabod's Lounge features their incredible menu for both dine-in and carry-out. Call 702-451-2323. 702-451-2323. Ichabod's Lounge, featuring old-school Vegas atmosphere and one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas. Ichabod's Lounge, open 24-7. Vintage Vegas dining, gaming lounge, and piano bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cycery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCycery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
I'm Kent Davenport of Quality Hearing Aids. Abundant, reliable, inexpensive energy was a great part of the booming pre-COVID Trump economy. Record low unemployment, record high employment and economic growth. The Democrats have always claimed to be for the little guy, the working man, the middle class. But among the first things Joe Biden did was to cancel the Keystone Pipeline, killing 11,000 jobs. And take other steps, all of which will cause the supply of energy to decrease, prices on gasoline and many other things will go up, and the economy will slow down, all at the expense of the working man and the middle class. Can you spell hypocrisy? Kent Davenport, Quality Hearing Aids, QHALV.com, 3691321, QHALV.com, 3691321.
It's all about Las Vegas. Live and local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
And don't forget, this hour brought to you by the MultiCare Group. Let Pat Casale and his friendly and knowledgeable staff tailor a health care plan to fit your family's budget. And the MultiCare Group can also provide you with plans that include free annual exams, telemedical appointments, and the best networks in the valley. Call 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449. Call the MultiCare Group. Do it right now, please. Right now, joining us, Victor Jakes, the three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He is a student of the game, so to speak, and he joins us. This week is going to be consumed, and maybe even part of next week, will be consumed with impeachment. According to Chuck Schumer, the two sides, the Democrats and the Republicans in the Senate, have agreed on ground rules. The thing will begin tomorrow in our nation's capital. Victor, what do you know about any of the is there anything special about what they're going to do? They're going to have Pat Leahy in the chair, not the Chief Justice. Your thoughts on coming up with a set of rules less than 24 hours before the damn thing's supposed to start?
Well, I mean, this thing has been sort of a farce from the beginning. I mean, when you rush it through and you say, oh, you know, the president, he incited them with this speech. And then, you know, you find out, you know, later that some of the attacks had been pre-planned and, you know, that it, but, you know, when he was speaking was when the attack was starting, but he was speaking, you know, like a 30, 40 minute walk away. You know, the bombs that were planted at the DNC and the RNC came out either this week or last week that they were planted the night before. So the narrative never really held up. And I think, you know, that was one reason that they were rushing to do it. You know, and they had a much better argument. I mean, the better argument, I think, is just, you know, that the president's response was kind of a, you know, dereliction of duty, that, you know, he should have responded more forcefully once the Capitol was breached. But the argument that they're putting forward now just isn't supported. And then, you know, there's the fact that, you know, President Trump isn't in office anymore, or former President Trump. And so, you know, I guess you have the spectacle of, oh, he's been impeached twice, but I don't know. The stakes just seem extraordinarily low to me. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of coverage, obviously, a lot of hubbub. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it just doesn't matter.
Now, with so little evidence other than his speech of January 6th, there really isn't any smoking gun. There's nothing. Why can't the Republicans just get this thing dismissed?
Well, I mean, it's all about the numbers. And they just don't have the numbers. I mean, obviously, Democrats control the majority. I think they took a vote on that to do that, and they had 45 votes, you know, which means they aren't getting a conviction. I mean, because you got to have 67 to convict, and the 45 are saying, you know, we shouldn't even have the trial. That's a pretty good sign of where people are at. And, you know, what's so interesting about this is it's unlikely anyone's mind will really be changed by these arguments. I mean, the arguments are familiar. These people are very intelligent. They're invested in what's happening. I think most of them have made their own calculations and you know, on both sides, and I don't think you're going to see anyone swayed by, you know, a particular elegant or eloquent line of reasoning at the trial. It's really just for show.
So tell me what Pat Leahy is going to be doing. He's the senior senator from Vermont. He is going to be presiding. It's not going to be John Roberts. Well, first of all, why isn't John Roberts going to be there?
Well, the Constitution talks about the Supreme Court, or the Chief Justice sitting, you know, when it's the current president presiding over the impeachment trial of the current president. And obviously, that is Joe Biden, and the impeachment involves Donald Trump. And so John Roberts basically said, no, I'm not interested. And so the senior member of the Senate, or at least the Democratic caucus, is going to be overseeing it.
Wow. So John Roberts is not going to be there. What is Pat Leahy supposed to be, an impartial arbiter? I mean, that's the way we always think of judges or people that are presiding. They ought to be fair. Is that what we're expecting from Pat Leahy, or will he rule like a Democrat?
Well, I mean, this is you know, it's not. It's the analogy to a trial doesn't really work. I mean, there's similarities, obviously, because you've got, you know, the prosecutor and the defense and the you know, the jury ultimately, but impeachment really is a political exercise, and so, you know, I'm sure Leahy will lean to the Democrats, but I don't think, you know, his role is really, I mean, it's just political, and so of course he's going to, you know, have his political judgments, but I don't think it should stress people. I mean, it's not like, you know, if this was a criminal trial, obviously this would be you know, an outrage and an abuse, but in something that's so political, it's just, well, everything's political.
Let me just ask you, is there anything that comes of this? Let's just say 6, 8,